And I would invite you all to turn with me to the Gospel according to Mark, chapter 9, as we read together verses 42 through 50. Mark 9, 42 through 50. In the Pew Bible, it's on page 877. If any of you put a stumbling block before one of these little ones who believe in me, it would be better for you if a great millstone were hung around your neck and you were thrown into the sea. If your hand causes you to stumble, cut it off. It is better for you to enter life maimed than to have two hands and to go to hell, to the unquenchable fire. And if your foot causes you to stumble, cut it off. It is better for you to enter life lame than to have 2 feet and to be thrown into hell. And if your eye causes you to stumble, tear it out. It is better for you to enter the kingdom of God with one eye than to have 2 eyes and to be thrown into hell, where their worm never dies and the fire is never quenched. For everyone will be salted with fire. Salt is good, but if salt has lost its saltiness, how can you season it? Have salt in yourselves and be at peace with one another. Jim, you old salt. Absolutely. Navy man. He's the salt of the earth. You've heard people say that. Although I guess technically Lot's wife really was. Right? She became a pillar of salt. She really was the salt of the earth. In a bad way. Honey, let me be your salty dog. We won't go any further into that song, though. Because if you really know what that means, we're not going to go any further into that song. Sometimes we say, well, you know, they salted away a good bit of money when someone put aside money for the future. I want some salt pork. And of course, you know that it's only real country ham if it's got so much salt that it turns your mouth inside out. She just rubs salt in an old wound all the time. Have you ever noticed, and we could name more, I'm sure, all of the many ways that we speak about salt? And what about all the ways that we use salt? We season food with it. Some folks, I'm not this way now. Someone desalinated me. But I used to, and for many years of marriage, I grew up and continued for a long time. I salted first, then I tasted, and then I salted again. Right? And playing football in high school, when we came off the practice field, and they had a big jar of salt tablets there, I grabbed a handful. No wonder my blood pressure became what it did, right? But we use it to season food. By the way, I could never have worked for Henry Ford. And I know that some of you out there still salt your food before you taste it. And you couldn't have worked for Henry Ford either. I mean, not only because I wasn't born during the time he was alive, but Henry Ford, when he was looking especially for executives, would take them out to eat, and if they salted their food before they tasted it, he didn't even consider them because they were too opinionated. True story. We also use salt to preserve things, right? It preserves all kinds of things, and once again, that country ham, that's why you can go out there and just scrape the green off of it when it's hanging in the barn and cut a slice and eat. Because that salt has cured it and preserved it. And in Jesus' day, when there was no refrigeration, salt took that place of our refrigeration. When you got a sore throat, what do? Yeah, you gargle with salt water. Although somebody said gurgle. But I guess you kind of gurgle it too, right? You gargle with salt water. Actually, in ancient times, people thought that rubbing the skin with salt, especially on newborns, would firm up the skin. And they also thought that rubbing the skin with salt would help get rid of bacteria. It was an antibacterial agent. And just to add a little something, the Latin word salarium, that's S-A-L-A-R-I-U-M, from which we get the word salary, actually meant money given to soldiers to buy salt. Salt was a very important commodity, and still is. And the passage today is really a series of sayings about stumbling and salt. What? It talks about stumbling. It talks about millstones. It talks about cutting off your hand and cutting off your foot and plucking out your eye. But what does that have to do with salt? Even though salt's at the end. Actually, I'm going to try and connect the dots. They are linked together. Words such as stumbling block, cause to stumble, and salt. And they are all about living the salty life. A life of salty living, but not a salty sailor's life. Or a salty dog. But living as salt. And no, I am not talking about living at the beach. So, stick with me as we try to connect the dots and see how these go together so that we might be the salt of the earth. Anyway, I believe somebody somewhere in the New Testament challenged believers to be the salt of the earth. In verse 42, we read a warning. If any of you put a stumbling block before one of these little ones who believe in me, it would be better for you if a great millstone were hung around your neck and you were thrown into the sea. This is an ancient proverb that Jesus uses. And the little ones who believe in me may be children, as earlier in verses 36 and 37. Some people have said it's actually the unknown exorcist, in verse 38, where the disciples come and say, "Teacher, we saw someone casting out demons in your name and tried to stop him because he wasn't following us." But I think it's not just these two possibilities. I also think that the little ones are weaker members of the Christian community, the followers of Jesus. Jesus, oftentimes, when he speaks of the little ones, is talking about those who are least in the faith as well, not just children. And Jesus says here that if we cause those to stumble, those who believe, it would be better to have a quick and sure drowning than to suffer the punishment reserved for those. Gehenna, or punishment in hell. Now, millstones came in a variety of sizes, smaller to larger. And in Mark 9:42, literally what the verse says in the Greek is, a millstone of a donkey. A millstone of a donkey. My translation said a great millstone. In other words, a millstone that was so big that an animal had to cause it to move. You couldn't stay afloat with one of those things. The warning seems to be better understood here in Mark as a warning about causing weaker ones to leave or to abandon the faith once they have come to that faith in God, in Christ. New Testament theologian Edward Schweizer writes, and I quote, "It is the unimportant, the unattractive, the downtrodden, the indifferent, the odd, and the wearisome, for whom the church was urged to show special concerns." End of quote. What Jesus is really saying here is that we are to be salt. We are to be salt for those who are the little ones of the world, especially those who are the least in the community of faith. And that's not easy. At least I don't think so. And perhaps you disagree. Maybe it's easy for you. But that's not easy, especially with those who are indifferent. Even those who say, my religion's so important, I rarely come to church. Or those who are odd. And I know sometimes I'm very odd. I got a vote. A vote of confidence. Hey, at least I own it, right? And it's very hard sometimes to be salt to those who are sometimes or often wearisome. And it didn't say the weary. It said those who are wearisome. But you know, Jesus calls us here. He calls us to help them firm up the substance of their faith. Not by causing them to stumble, but to help them firm it up by being that salt which they need. Verses 43 to 47 issue a different call or warning. Jesus turns from the danger of causing others to stumble from the faith. To warnings against a lackadaisical discipleship. A lackadaisical discipleship which might lead to our falling away. Our forgetting the faith. Our becoming corrupted. Our becoming wearisome. Now to be sure, Jesus was using hyperbole here. Jesus was not condoning or suggesting self-mutilation, which, by the way, was practiced by some religions in his day, and actually there are some places in the world today where this type of self-mutilation is practiced. Yeah. But Jesus wasn't condoning that. Jesus was not suggesting that. Jesus is exaggerating, using this extreme hyperbole to show the seriousness of religious faith. The seriousness of that commitment, and the seriousness when we give in to the temptation to stumble and fall and to move away. My friend and colleague, who is dean of the McAfee School of Theology at Mercer University, Alan Culpepper, notes, and I quote, in a typically Semitic fashion, Jesus concretizes the temptations, speaking of them in terms of parts of the body with which they are associated. With one's hand, one may steal or do violence. With one's foot, one may be led into temptation or even run after it. One might stumble into trespass. And with one's eye, one may lust or covet. The point is that the goal of eternity in life or the kingdom of God is so great that you should readily sacrifice even a part of your body if it interferes with achieving that goal. End of quote. In other words, it's a serious matter. In fact, of utmost importance that we not only practice our religious understanding with Christ and be salt for others, but that we continue to be seasoned and preserved ourselves with the salt of the gospel. If you would sacrifice a body part to preserve your life here, you should be ready to sacrifice anything to be a part of the kingdom of God, is what Jesus is saying. We are to free ourselves of anything which might hinder true fellowship with God and the community of faith. Harsh words. Pride. A hurt or hurtful spirit. And on we could go. Anything that would hinder us from true fellowship with God or the community of faith should be sacrificed, removed. The call is to continue to be salt, not only for those around us, but to continue to be salt in preserving our faith, just as salt preserves. The alternative to life as part of God's kingdom is Gehenna, or hell. These verses in Mark 9 are quoted actually from Isaiah chapter 66, verse 24, about the fire never dying and the worm never dying. But such punishment is not God's doing. It is the choice of those who cease to be salt. It is the choice of those who cease to season and preserve with the gospel of God, and who stumble away or turn away from God and the faith. In verse 49, then, fire and salt are pulled together and tied up in this package of warnings about stumbling and calls to be salt. The fire of God preserves from decay just as salt preserves and cures meat. Salt was also often used in religious ceremonies and was often mixed with the sacrifices. If you go to Leviticus chapter 2, verse 13, you will find that the sacrifices as they are burned are to be mixed with salt. In Exodus 30, God says that salt is to be mixed with the incense that is burned in the fire. Ezekiel 16 talks about salt being used on newborns to drive away evil and to preserve them. By the way, does anyone know what often happened when cities were conquered in the ancient world? Especially if they had fields with which to grow crops to feed the people? Absolutely. Salt was sown so that for years to come, the ground would not produce. Elisha purified a spring at Jericho with salt. A covenant made with salt, according to Numbers chapter 18, a covenant made with salt is a permanent covenant of commitment. Eating or taking salt with someone bound you to them in loyalty, according to the biblical text. Of course, Jesus says we are to be the salt of the earth. And in Colossians, Paul says that our speech is to be seasoned with salt, carefully doled out. And y'all know what you do if you turn a salt shaker over on the table, right? You pick up the shaker and throw it over your left shoulder. Well, now I guess you're supposed to throw the salt, but if you're going to throw a little bit of salt, why not throw the whole shaker, right? Except for the person you hit that's sitting behind you. But we are to take care. We're to take care of our lives and our faith, because salt can lose its positive properties and go bad. Now, pure salt, that's difficult for it to lose those properties. But the salt around the Dead Sea that Jesus, with which Jesus was familiar, and the folks to whom he was speaking, wasn't pure sodium chloride. It was used to preserve, I guess in some ways it did, because among other things, in addition to other minerals, gypsum was a part of what was in many of the salts that were used. And we do know that salt that went bad was thrown out on the roads so that the Roman troops could walk more easily and the chariots could roll better. Temptation can cause our salt to go bad, can take us away from the faith if we are not careful. But we are to have a spirit of willingness, according to verse 50, a spirit of willingness to suffer and withstand what the world brings. We will be salted with fire, and Jesus says, you are to become salt in these times, but also to have peace among yourselves. For just as the salt of our faith helps to preserve the peace that God brings, is what God gives to help preserve the church as well. As Culpepper states, while these verses have a cruel history of literal interpretation, mentioned that earlier, more often for the church, they are ignored as quite moralizing. Because we know these words are not meant to be taken literally, cut off your hand, cut off your foot, pluck out your eye, we feel free to ignore them entirely. We feel free to ignore the seriousness of the impediment that we might place in front of others. And the offenses we tolerate that pose danger, even to our own faith. Jesus turned from the relationship between knowledge and privilege to the responsibility that that knowledge confers on those who acquire it. The more one knows, and the more mature one's faith, the larger the circle of these little ones becomes. End of quote. And I would add to that, the more we grow, the more salty we are to become. The more we grow, the more we are to live a salty life which seeks to season and preserve not only our own faith, but to season the world around us and preserve it with God's grace and peace. Preserving life for the sake of the kingdom of God. And so the question that comes to me is not just how salty is my life, but can I use some more salt? May we pray. Our gracious God, we hear words like these sayings sometimes, and we just kind of pass them off, kind of go beyond them into other things. Sometimes because we think they're quaint, but probably more often because they are very demanding. As you have preserved us through the salty life of others, help us to also share the salt. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Our closing hymn, our hymn of commitment, is 426. Blessed be the tie that binds. As we sing, may we not only remember that those ties do bind us in salt and in the salty life, but also as we sing, may we commit ourselves to be even more of the salt which the earth needs. Our altar is open for any decision that you might make. As we sing together, hymn number 426, Blessed be the tie that binds.